Hello and welcome to Providing Pediatrics, a Better Today, Healthier Tomorrow podcast where we are addressing the unique challenges of pediatric care. I'm your host, Charles Woolley. On today's episode, I sit down with Dr. Deidre Wyrick, Medical Director for Trauma Services here at Arkansas Children's. We're having a discussion about PEDS Ready. PEDS Ready is a national agenda. Now, we talk about the survey, participation in the survey, the scores across the state of Arkansas. We look at ways that we are supporting this initiative in Arkansas to better prepare hospitals and EMS services to take care of hurt and sick children. All right, let's do this. Thank you for joining me for this conversation today. I really am looking forward to this. PEDS Ready, what a big topic. Tell me about your journey. Are you from here?
I claim here. I moved to Arkansas when I was a teenager. I grew up in central Arkansas. So I definitely say that Arkansans are my people at this point in my life.
Gotcha. So where else is your people? If you're saying we're your people.
I was born in Mississippi.
Okay.
My parents were in the military. And so we moved all around. They retired to Arkansas to Cabot when I was a teenager. Nice. So I grew up in Cabot, went to undergrad at Hendrix, went to medical school here. Did a decade of training after medical school to have my job. Did 9 of those 10 years in UAMS in the children's hospital system. So wow. I'm definitely a local and a lifer.
Then you did a fellowship somewhere else, right?
Yeah. So I did medical school, general surgery, and pediatric surgery at UAMS and children's. And then, not to be a glutton for punishment, I did a trauma critical care fellowship in Portland, Oregon, and then was recruited back to the state in 2020.
Yeah. I think that we never did let you go.
Oh, no.
I think
I was always here in spirit.
I think so, too. It's like every bit of the memories that I have at Arkansas Children's that involved trauma, you were there. So it was, you've just been a fixture, a permanent fixture. But I applaud you and respect you. And I've always kind of looked up to your drive. And so it's just super cool to have you sit down and talk about this. I love this topic and I love what we're going to talk about. So, pediatric ready, PEDS ready. What in the world is PEDS ready? What are we talking about?
Yeah, so just to set the stage about why this matters. So if you think about all pediatric patients or all children, about 24 million children will seek medical care every year in the United States.
Oh.
And of those, about 10,000 will die. And if you look at all those visits, if we talk about the emergency department, about 90% of those 24 million children will access the medical system at an adult facility. So think about that. 90% of 24 million children.
90% of them are going to go to an adult facility.
So they're not coming here. They're not going to ACNW because that's not the hospital that's close to them.
Okay.
And I don't quite know the data on EMS, but if you think about our pre-hospital crew, they take everyone, but the majority of the patients they take are also adults. And so PEDS Ready is about that. It is about how do we make these adult people who take care of predominantly adults, how do we make them capable, comfortable, competent, and ready to take care of these children when they present for medical care.
That's exactly what this podcast is about, right? Providing pediatrics. You know, we're addressing the unique challenges of pediatric care. That's exactly why we do this. And so I love this topic. So I don't want to belabor it, but I do want to go back to that. I was reading some of the stuff that you sent me, some of the studies, and I saw something that says something like 65% of children live within distance of enough of a trauma center that will take children, but I don't think that's the statistics for Arkansas. That was like a national statistic.
Yeah, so that was a national study that looked at that, and they looked at trauma centers, and trauma centers are a tricky topic, right? And so trauma centers are staged from level one. So Arkansas Children's Hospital is a level one trauma center. The University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences is a level one trauma center. It's the highest.
Right.
It goes all the way down to a level four, and that's based on your capability and capacity. And so some of those studies look at a level four trauma center, and obviously that's very different than a level one trauma center. And so, yeah, that's the statistic, but what kind of hospital are they going to?
Right.
They're not all the same, which is okay. That's why we have trauma systems and systems within the state. But still, if you think about it, 65% sounds great.
Yeah.
But that's not that high of a number. Again, if you go back to the 24 million annually,
right,
that's still a large percentage of children that don't have access to high-quality trauma care or PEDS-ready care within 30 minutes of their house.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and that, and as soon as I saw that number, I was like, well, that doesn't represent Arkansas.
Because no, it's even farther.
I know I drive all over this state, mm-hmm. and this there's some very, very rural places in our state. They're going to be hard to get to an adult facility mm-hmm. within an hour. Like, it's crazy when we really get out there and look at the just the distance to travel to get to a regular hospital.
Right. Like, I mean, I grew up in Cabot, and everyone thinks Cabot, Central Arkansas.
Sure.
And at the time that I grew up, because I'm old, you know, St. Vincent's North was one of the closest hospitals. And I grew up out in the country, and it took 25 minutes to get there. And if you're trying to go to Spring Hill, it's, you know, it was 30 to 40 minutes for me to get to a hospital.
Right.
And I grew up in Cabot.
Right.
And Cabot's not even rural anymore. Right. So think about if you're in some other outlying part of the state. That's why this matters. That's why I'm so passionate about it.
It totally matters. And, you know, it really kind of takes me back. You know, when I was on an ambulance way back in the day, one of the things that I did wrong a couple of times was take the patient to the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Like traumatic brain injury patient to a facility that had no capabilities, right? Mm-hmm. And then they sat in that facility for a long period of time and then had to be put on a helicopter and shipped somewhere. I did them no good by taking them to that facility. I could have bypassed that facility and kept coming to a more capable facility that could have maybe performed surgery and saved their lives. It's one of the things that kind of haunts me. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man, now that I know what I know, right?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the beauties about the trauma system is getting the right patient to the right location at the right time. And one of the things that you and I have talked about, I think a lot of people equate pediatric ready with trauma, which certainly it is. And that's the bent that I have sure. because that's my passion in life, right? Trauma. But PEDS ready is about the pediatric patient. So it doesn't matter if it's a kid who gets in a car accident. It doesn't matter if it's a kid who is coming in because they are seizing.
Right.
A kid with an acute asthma attack. The kid who's in septic shock. PEDS Ready covers all of that. It covers the care and readiness for pediatrics full stop, not okay. just trauma, which I think is why it's so important that even if you're not a trauma center, being PEDS Ready is still very important.
What makes a pediatric ready facility so special that they can take care of kids better?
So if any of y'all have looked up the PEDS readiness stuff, which is on the Emergency Medical Services for Children's website, it is daunting. I get it. I do this every day. Charles and I were just looking at the list, and it looks a lot. But all it does is it goes through different domains. So it's leadership, administration, education, supplies, equipment, policies. And it really sets a roadmap that you have the appropriate equipment and policies in place to care for pediatric patients.
All right.
And again, it's comprehensive, but there are some key features of the program that I think nationally everyone agrees are important.
So this is a nationally recognized program.
Mm-hmm.
How did it get started? And can you tell me a little bit about the history of PEDS Ready?
Yeah, so it started in 2009-ish, and the key stakeholders are, and you guys will recognize these names, right? The American Academy of Pediatrics.
Sure.
The Emergency Nurses Association.
Nice.
I'm going to get the name of it wrong. The National Association of EMTs.
Sure. That's
Is that the correct title? Yeah, if I messed it up, yeah. My pre-hospital people, I'm sorry. But they got together and realized that, again, the statistics haven't changed. Kids go to adult facilities. And so they got together and said, what does an adult facility need to be good? And so they created the first survey. They sent it out to every hospital, every emergency department that's open more than 24 hours.
Okay.
They sent a survey to.
Okay.
And they got all the results back, and they looked at the data about how many people were PEDS ready. And then, obviously, they did that in 2009. I think the next survey was in 2014. It's been done a couple of times. The most recent checklist is a couple of years old.
Okay.
And it scaled from 0 to 100. So Arkansas Children's Hospital, we have a score of 100.
Well, we should.
We do. Here. I double checked.
Okay.
We have a score of 100. But at the beginning, nobody knew what a good score was.
Okay.
I will tell you the last time that Arkansas had a large percentage of hospitals take the survey was in 2013.
Okay.
Very few of our hospitals currently in the state have taken it. But our median pediatric ready score was 65 out of 100. It's low. The current standard score nationally that we think makes you PEDS ready is a score of 88.
Okay.
And the last time a lot of our hospitals took the score, our score was 65.
Wow.
And so, but that's how it started.
So we're just don't have a lot of participation, or we're just scoring low, period? Or both?
The last survey, we had a lot of participation. We just scored low. And then, you know, not to blame everything in the medical world or the whole world on COVID, but the next survey came out around COVID times. And, you know, people could barely survive, especially our outlying hospitals.
No, that's right.
And so I think now it's trying to get the momentum for people to take the survey. And it is daunting if you haven't looked at it. It looks like a lot. It's really not. But you do got to get your ducks in a row. And I think a lot of people answer no to questions that they probably actually do.
Okay.
Like, for example, do you have a policy in place to notify someone if a pediatric patient has abnormal vital signs?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people answer that question no, because they don't actually have a written down policy.
Right.
But they do have a policy. The nurse knows if they take a vital signs and they're abnormal, they're going to go find the APP or the MD or the DO, and they're going to say, hey, such and such blood pressure is low. What should I do?
Sure.
Well, technically, the answer to that question is no, so you don't get the points. But
right.
If you go open up your Word document and you type, our policy for this is da-da-da-da-da, well, now you have a policy and you can answer yes. So it's a little bit of that, I think, why our scores are low. But some of it's legitimately low.
Sure, yeah. That goes back to the whole thing about if all I take care of is adults on a regular basis, mm-hmm. we're going to get to the reasons why some places may not be able to bring that all the way up to mm-hmm. an 88%. But before we do, let's talk more about how daunting that list is. And then you were telling me that there were some sections that may not be applicable, right? So like you were saying that based on the number of kids you see a year, detail that out a little
bit. So at the very end of the PEDS readiness, the last couple of pages are for facilities that see more than 10,000 pediatric patients a year.
Okay.
Well, no one in the state of Arkansas.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Or whatever the number is, no one in the state of Arkansas outside of Children's Hospital is going to meet that metric.
Okay.
And that's for some very nuanced policies and procedures and equipment.
Sure. And that will just take a big chunk of that out. Maybe it'll make it mm-hmm. feel a little bit easier to click through those questions. Very important that we spread awareness about this and encourage people to actually take the survey. Now, can I go back and take the survey if I haven't taken it already?
Yes.
So it's still open.
Yes. If you go to it's EMSC, Emergency Medical Services for Children.
Right.
Pediatric readiness. If you Google that, it brings up their website.
Okay.
And there's a paper version of the form you can print out that you can kind of jot notes on. And then there's the electronic version, which is the actual survey.
Okay.
And then that goes to EMSC. They give you a report back with a score, but okay. most importantly, it tells you where your gaps are.
We used to do this. I used to do emergency department outreach from Children's, and we would go and do simulation. Outside emergency departments would invite us to their mm-hmm. facility, and we would take a high fidelity mannequin mm-hmm. and have a pediatric code in their facility, mm-hmm. and there would be somebody standing there making a list of equipment that they needed. Loved, loved, loved that. And we had one place that did it three different times and just kept whittling away at that list.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Made me proud of them so much. So what are some of the things that we see a lot of? Like, is there a handful of things that we could say, okay, this is something that we've identified through all of these surveys over the years that continues to keep coming up that we could easily fix?
When you think about pediatric readiness, the question that we get is, what is the one thing, if I'm going to pick one thing on this checklist,
okay,
what is the most important?
Sure.
And the most important is to get what is called the PECC, P-E-C-C.
Uh-huh.
That is a pediatric emergency care coordinator.
Okay.
And this is not to be a pediatrics person. It has to be a human who is passionate about pediatric patients.
Okay.
Ideally, you have a nurse and a physician, but if you even have one, that is the single most important thing to raise pediatric readiness scores, because it's the person who's in the ED, who knows the people, who said, let's look at this kid, let's go look at the crash cart. So I think if you're going to do one thing, I'd start with a PECC.
I mean, that's kind of like looking at something that will pay off in the future, right? If you invest in this person, yeah, they're going to take care of that list, yeah, kind of in a way. So that's a really good,
yeah,
way
they
to
do,
approach it.
They take care of the list, right? And they become like your pediatric expert. So the trauma centers, we kind of, they're analogous to kind of like the trauma program manager. They don't devote that much time that a trauma program manager would, but they're kind of like that go-to expert in the emergency department for the care of the pediatric patient.
I love that. That's really cool. And then they can be that kind of liaison, yeah, set up education. And oh, I love that. Such a wonderful thing. That was something that we were working on a few years back, and I think it was a COVID problem that stopped it. Do we have a lot of PECs now? Is that something that,
no,
we're starting to see?
We don't have hardly any in the state.
Oh, goodness.
Because, I mean, it's a lift, right? That person needs time to do the job. Okay. And I get it. They need time. And
yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Time is money.
Time is money.
But that's the single most important thing you can do. And I know that the Department of Health, and I know that Arkansas Children's as an entity, are happy to help mentor those people and help provide resources to those people. We are all about this program. Seriously, all about it.
Okay, so is this just for emergency departments? Or are we looking at, I know I've seen pediatric ready ambulances and I'm just giddy about it.
Yeah. So there's two different programs through EMSC, and that's housed at the Department of Health in the state of Arkansas, actually in most states. You can be a PEDS ready emergency department, but you can also be a PEDS ready ambulance crew.
Nice.
Which is just like the coolest thing,
yeah,
ever.
I love it.
Right. And so, yeah, you can be a pre-hospital group and also be pediatric ready.
Yeah, that's so cool. You know, like I said, as a paramedic, I remember that pediatric bag was locked up. And
you didn't want to have to touch it, right?
No, because you would jinx yourself.
Yeah.
You would get a pediatric call. And so when we started doing a lot of emergency department outreach stuff, I was so surprised at the equipment. You know, we would pull stuff out that would be dry rotted. And, you know, you get that BVM and you, like pull it out and it just falls all over pieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, we're not getting that out because we might have to go on a kid call. And nobody wants to do that. We understand that. What are we doing? So what are we doing here at Arkansas Children's? I see your passion for this, and I know you're presenting a lot of awareness around the state about this at conferences and things. Is there anything else we're doing to support this?
I think my sort of dream would be, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
And Arkansas Children's is the expert at pediatric care in the state of Arkansas.
Sure.
And if you need a policy or a protocol, you as the adult provider shouldn't have to go do the legwork for that. I can guarantee you we have one.
Sure.
Now, the policy that I have at my hospital for an asthma exacerbation, that may not work for you, but we can modify ours.
Sure.
And we can say, what do you have? How can we make this applicable to you? And so I do think establishing those relationships, and with AOT and Angel One Transport, they're such a well-known entity in the state, and our transport crew is great. Our ops center is amazing.
Yes.
And so I think we have those relationships, and I think we could leverage the ops center and Angel One Transport and the trauma program and
right,
that to give our resources, which our resources are already publicly available.
Right, right.
But they may need to be adapted in some cases to fit the local resources. You know, all politics are local.
Oh, yeah. And everything looks completely different out there.
I mean, yeah, walk into a level 4 emergency department or a critical access hospital, or be in the back of an ambulance with an EMT and a paramedic trying to save someone's life.
It is
very different than the riches that we have at our hospital.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The difference.
And I think it's okay to be nervous about it. I think it's okay to be nervous about taking care of a kid. But the beauty of pediatric readiness is, yeah, I'm nervous about this, but I know I have the supplies. I know I have the policies. I know I have the support of the pediatric hospital if I pick up the phone and I need it. That's the beauty of this program to me, because no one's on an island. You
right.
feel like when you get a sick kid, you're on an island.
Right.
And you're not. And I think that's the beauty of this program.
Absolutely. And complacency, I think, you know, I keep joking about this because whenever I go out to schools with my current job with Project Adam and I look at their AED and I ask them about their AED, and most people don't know where it is, right?
Right.
It's complacency, right? Mm-hmm. So I really am starting to have an argument. I'm not sure curiosity killed it, Kat. I think complacency
Dude,
maybe.
Dude, that's true. That's facts.
I'm really coming to a conclusion there about the cat and complacency because, you know, I think you go to work every day and you feel ready until that kid rolls to the door. And so here we are offering this wonderful survey that will highlight the things that you need.
And they're going to come. They're sure. going to come to your facility. Absolutely. It may not be today.
90%.
And it may not be tomorrow.
Wow.
But a significantly ill or injured child is going to show up. You're going to get you're going to be the crew that gets the call to go pick them up.
You know, we started this conversation out before the camera started rolling and you were telling me about your niece
yeah.
and your nephew. And then, mm-hmm. and that's why you do yeah. it, right? And mm-hmm. we even talked about if we won the lottery, right?
We'd still come to work.
We'd still come to work.
I mean, yeah.
So tell me what you love about your job so much.
I mean, it's so easy to say the people, right? I work with the best people I know. And Charles alluded to it. We actually probably knew each other when I was a little baby medical student, to be honest. But, you know, I grew up in the state of Arkansas, and this is cheesy, but the state of Arkansas taught me how to be a doctor. Okay. They let me learn how to be a doctor, yeah. right? They let me fumble. They let me figure it out, right? They've been my patients from the beginning, and I'm very passionate about that, and I feel a big degree of onus to the state of Arkansas to pay back the education that I had the good fortune to receive.
Nice.
And I care about kids a lot, and I think that they're such a precious resource. And again, if my niece or nephew are hurt, mm-hmm. I want them to be well taken care of till my mm-hmm. friends can go pick them up.
Amen.
And what a better way to spend your life than telling a parent that, you know what, your kid's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
I love that.
We're going to get you through. It's going to be okay.
Wonderful.
So that's why I love about my job.
I love that. And I,
cheesy as it may be.
It does not surprise me at all. I love that answer so much. I just think at the end of this, to kind of wrap this up, I think the message that we're trying to put out there is take the survey and we're here to help you.
Yep. Take the survey. The Department of Health is a key stakeholder in the state. They will help walk you through it. If you need help, you just have to reach out to them. The information's on the Department of Health website. You can be certified as a PEDS Ready Center in the state. You can get the sticker. You can put on your door. And it's not about that, but it means you're ready. And that's what yeah. it's about, right?
And then the flip side.
And
of that
EMS gorgeous. Also.
And EMS, please. Yeah, I can't wait to see more of those stickers on the back of ambulance. Yeah. It's so wonderful. And we applaud the ones who have. It's amazing. I know that we kind of looked at the list earlier. We got the numbers earlier from Amanda White over at the health department. And we were saying, okay, there's about 10 or 12 like facilities and EMS services that have taken advantage of this. The flip side of that is we're here to help,
yep.
right? We're here to help. I mean, it's as simple as calling. It's 1-800-ACH-HELP, right? If you need help, we can get you to the right place that way.
Yeah, and as Charles alluded to, I've been here forever. I graduated medical school in 2010, so everyone here knows me. I mean, and they can get you in touch with Charles, and he can get you in touch with the right people. We really want to help the providers in the state who predominantly take care of adults feel better about the care of the pediatric patient. Because we know it's scary.
It is scary. Yeah. That's kind of said it better.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you on the next episode.